Let's bow again in prayer. God, we know you are our all in all. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We are grateful that you care for us and that you are here with us. And we pray today for those of us who cannot be here for whatever reason, that you would be with them. We know that there are people who are struggling today, whether it be from financial burdens or health issues or a myriad of other things, Lord. We are grateful that we can lay all of these down at your feet. We pray now that you would prepare our hearts for the word that is brought to us this morning, that you would speak to us, that we would hear, that you would use your word to change our lives, that we would become more like you. God, just quiet our spirits and our hearts that we may hear what you say. We pray this all now in the precious blood of your Son's name. Amen.
In the life of our church, as we get to invite two new members into our congregation. So this time, I'd like to invite Marcia and Mark Borton to come on up. And Mark and Marcia have gone through our membership class and have been interviewed by our elders to hear their testimonies of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and submitted an application for membership. And so they've gone through the process completely. So we have some certificates of membership, one for Marcia and one for Mark. And it's especially my pleasure to do this today. We ran into these guys originally over in Budapest. We didn't know them. But we were serving in Budapest at a church there, and Mark and Marcia started attending our church as they were working with SEND as missionaries, and we got to know them, and we were so thankful for their partnership overseas with that ministry, and we're so thrilled, Kathy and I, to have your partnership again here. So thank you for joining us. Let's thank the Lord for Mark and Marcia. But we have some parting gifts for you today, for our contestants. We have some lifesavers. Again, our mission is to make disciples who make disciples. And as you are a life-saving influence in the community, we hope these are a little reminder of what we're about and what we're trying to accomplish. So, as I said in first service, be sure and share. Share those. All right. Thanks, guys.
We get a second bag.
A second bag, yeah. So sorry. Yeah, bummer. We're so cheap. That's the problem, right? For sure. Thanks, guys. All right, please take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 10 for our study today. Acts chapter 10, and as you're turning there, again, just one more commercial for the ladies' event coming up on Saturday. I encourage you to, if you are a lady, I encourage you to sign up at the Connect Center for that. And my wife does not fancy herself as much of a public speaker, but let me just tell you that if you come and listen to what she has to say, you will be blessed. So I hope you can come and join that wonderful time this Saturday from 10 to 1. I'm sorry, from 11 to 1 this Saturday. So with that, we're in Acts chapter 10. We have 33 verses of sheer excitement to talk about that we don't want to miss. But as we continue our survey through the book of Acts, and here we have our author Luke, who continues the early accounts of the early church. And in verse 1, this is what we read. A devout man who feared God with all his household gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat, but while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens open and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he invited them in to be his guests. And the next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea, and Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. And when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, 'Stand up, I too am a man.' And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, 'You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked them why you sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you've been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord.'" May the Lord add his blessing at the hearing and the reading of his word this morning. Well, are we there yet? How many times have you heard that as a parent with your kids going somewhere, right? Are we there yet? Or maybe you were that kid saying that to your parents long ago. The reality is all of us are on a journey. And sometimes in the midst of our journey, we struggle in our faithfulness, don't we? We keep following after God, but it seems like nothing is really happening. It's easy to become discouraged in the midst of ongoing mundane responsibilities with thoughts like, I'm so stuck in this dead-end job, or I don't know if I can deal with one more diaper, or my spouse just doesn't care about me like they used to, or I hate all the schoolwork, and what's the point of it all anyway? Or even thoughts of, why have I been rejected, or why have I been forsaken? But even in the midst of these kinds of thoughts, we need to do all we can to stay faithful to God in our walk, especially as we find ways to love the people that God has brought into our lives, no matter who they are. As we'll see today in our study, God will always lead us in the midst of our faithfulness. But even as we remain faithful, sometimes God calls us to hear what we don't want to hear. He says things like, be patient with others, do all things without murmuring or disputing, abstain from all appearances of evil, or overcome evil with good. And sometimes God calls us to go where we don't want to go. He might just call us to a place where we might be inconvenienced or uncomfortable or even mistreated. And sometimes God calls us to love those we don't want to love. Throughout Scripture, Jesus calls us to love each other, to forgive each other, and to consider others as more important than ourselves. And on top of all this, he even calls us to love our enemies. Beloved, we are all on a journey. How are you doing in your faithfulness to him, even right now? Are you going where he's going? Are you following his lead? He knows the way, and in fact, he is the way. We need to be faithful to him and what he tells us and where he leads us and who he calls us to love. Our message series has spread the word. And today we're focusing on an unexpected journey. Of course, we saw before in our study of the book of Acts, Saul, who's soon to be known as the Apostle Paul, has just given his life to Christ. And last week we saw how Peter healed a lame man and then he raised Tabitha from the dead. Today we're going to focus further on Peter, who is called to go on an unexpected journey to share the gospel with the Gentiles, that is, these non-Jews. And we will see the fellowship that he found along the way. I hope to have a map here to show you. It's there. Look at that. Isn't it beautiful? In my powerful laser. Here it is. Boom. So Peter started in Jerusalem a couple weeks ago when we started our study. Then he went last week. And this is where Peter is now. Cornelius is up in Caesarea, and we see with while he's in Joppa, Peter had a vision that led him to take the gospel to Cornelius, a Gentile in Caesarea. So now you know where you are. Now the question is, what should we do about it? Today I have four truths for us to consider while we all continue our journey. But before we study, let's just ask God's help. Would you please pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this incredible opportunity we have to be in your word. Lord, many of us have been distracted all this week with many things that come to mind. But Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to set aside those distractions and to focus in on what you have to say today. Hearing from you, not from this speaker, but hearing from you today what you'd have for us, your simple truth from your word. So Lord, have your way with us in our study. Open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have to say. And Lord, open your word to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Do your work. Change us, mold us, shape us into something beautiful in your sight. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible opportunity. Help us not to miss anything you have for us today. We pray all this in your Son's wonderful and awesome name. Amen. Well, if you have your sermon notes outlined, here's the first truth of four. God will always lead us in the midst of our faithfulness. He'll always lead us in the midst of our faithfulness. Here in the first eight verses, we find out about this man named Cornelius. And there are seven attributes that we can glean from this text that describe this guy. First of all, we see that he was a leader. At Caesarea, verse 1, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. Cornelius, as a centurion, would have been a non-commissioned officer overseeing a cohort, which is about a tenth of a Roman legion, overseeing anywhere between 300 to 600 men, more likely around 600 men. So he was a faithful leader in a pagan army, and yet he was very interested in spiritual things. This is fascinating. Here we have a guy who is a pagan. He's, in all likelihood, a Roman guy. And he's interested in spiritual things, and he's specifically interested in the God of the Jews. So he was a leader, but secondly, he was faithfully sincere, I should say. In verse 2, it says, he was a devout man who feared God with all his household. He was faithfully sincere. Here we see that he was a man who was sincerely devoted to following after God. Perhaps a proselyte Jew, but we don't have any more information than that. But more likely, a Gentile who loved God and was longing for more. It says that he feared God. And what does that mean, that he feared God? Is he cowering in the corner waiting for the lightning strike to come? No, I don't think so. He had a reverential awe for who God was, a divine respect that you're God and I'm not. He was devout, we're told. But thirdly, we see he was generous. He gave alms generously to the people. He was a kind and generous man, we see here. He was open-handed and not tight-fisted. Sadly, some of us really wrestle with this. We're trying to be miserly, holding on to our precious little fiefdom, if you will. And maybe we should be more open-handed with all that God has blessed us with. And see, we see here that he is generous to the people. And fourthly, he continually sought the Lord in prayer. It says he prayed continually to God. Here's this pagan guy who is constantly seeking his heavenly Father out. James 5:16 says, the effective prayer of a righteous person has great power. And I ask you, are you a prayerful person? Are you a generous person? Are you faithfully sincere? It's funny how as you become older, you find yourself all the more dependent on prayer. That's been my story. As we grow in maturity in our faith walk, it's when we finally realize that having faith in God is of way more significance and power than merely having faith in ourselves. Having faith in God can make a difference. Believing in ourselves can't. But he continually sought the Lord in prayer. And with all this, he was rewarded for his faithfulness. Did you see that in verse 3 and 4? About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. Well, that probably would have freaked him out. I've never had an angel of God come talk to me that way. At least not that I know of. And he stared at him in terror. Yeah, he's a little freaked out by this. And he says, what is it, Lord? Like, did I do something? You know, am I in trouble? You know, what's going on? Of course, the angel speaks and says to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Did you hear that? That is an incredible thought. It's about 3 p.m. of this ninth hour, we're told, where this vision took place. It takes place in broad daylight. We need to understand that there are earthly rewards for walking in righteousness before God. A lot of times we think about, yeah, we know the eternal rewards, but you know, right now it doesn't seem like anything's happening right now or making any difference. No, there are earthly rewards for walking in righteousness before God. Notice what it said. Your prayers, this is from the angel himself, Cornelius, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. God notices your effort as you serve him in his time. And because of this, we see that Cornelius was given a special mission. Sixthly, verse 5. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He's lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. A special mission that God appoints him to. I want you to send some men to go get Peter. Now you can imagine as a pagan thinking about this, like, why would I want to get that guy? Last I heard, he was trying to kill Christians. Perhaps he'd heard of him before. He's not sure who this guy is or what he's about. But he's obedient, we see. In verse 7, when the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. So one of his own leaders he sends with a couple other guys, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. He's obedient. He heard what God's messenger said, and he was all about it. Beloved, we need to be this kind of person. I ask you, are you like Cornelius here? Would people say these things about you, that you're a devout person, that you're faithfully sincere, that you're generous, that you continually seek the Lord in prayer? Are you listening for God's voice, willing to go where he directs you? God will always lead you in the midst of your faithfulness. Here's Cornelius just being faithful. And God meets him right where he is and says, I've got a job for you. I resonate with this. Years ago, I was minding my own business, running a business in Wisconsin, and I was doing quite well. I was in my early 30s, had been an agent for 10 years. I've got 2,500 policies in force, insuring over 900 households. I'm doing pretty well. Could hire and fire anybody I wanted to. I could, you know, take a week off, go play golf, and wouldn't matter. I'd still get a raise because those premiums always go up, right? They always go up. It was a good gig. And yet God started to work in my heart. God started to deal with me. saying, Brad, there's something more here for you. I've got something more for you to do. But he didn't tell me what that was. I kind of felt like I was Moses in the wilderness. I didn't know. I knew I was supposed to go somewhere, but I didn't know where to go or what to do. I didn't have a degree. I wasn't credentialed as a pastor. I came home from work in tears, like, God, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? Because I knew he was dealing with me. And during that time, I had to make a choice, because I could have just, you know, let the agency go and not worry about it and do anything. I just focus, you know, my attention with what he had for me. No, I determined that, Lord, help me to be faithful here until you make things clear. Help me to do the very best job I can as an agent. Help me to be a good businessman until I hear what you have for me and where you're sending me and where you're going to take me. At that time, if anybody would have come into my office and sat across from me with a paper to sign where I could go into, you know, go be a Bible teacher or pastor, I would have signed it immediately. But as yet, there was no opportunity yet. But the issue here is being found faithful. Knowing that as we're faithful in those little things, prayer, being generous, open-handed, God sees that. He sees that faithfulness, and he's longing to honor you in it, even right now. Secondly, sometimes God calls us to hear what we don't want to hear. So now we go back to Peter. The next day, as they were on their journey, these men who were going to go find Peter and approaching the city, here's Peter. Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. Now, isn't this cool? Peter also is a guy of prayer, right? Neat. And he became hungry because sixth hour is about noon, so that's what happens around noon. About an hour, I'm going to be ready for some food. How about you? Maybe about 30 minutes. He's hungry. He wanted something to eat, but while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance. I have no idea what that means. I don't know what that, you know, I don't know that. I don't know that I've ever been in one. I don't know what that is. And he saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending. Was it actually a sheet? No, it was like it, though. We don't know exactly what this was. It was like a great sheet descending. It's coming down, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. And then there were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. All kinds of critters on it. And apparently they're the kind of critters that were not acceptable in the diet of the Jews. And there came a voice to him in verse 13, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." This is just something Peter didn't want to hear. This isn't the right message. You know, maybe, can you send a different messenger? This isn't what I want to hear today. And the voice came to him again a second time. "What God has made clean, do not call common." And then we're told in verse 16, this happened three times. And then the thing was taken up at once to heaven. I love how it's described in the Greek here. The thing, whatever this was, just went up. Because we don't know exactly what it was. The dietary restrictions of the Jews were quite extensive. According to passages like Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, I encourage you to read those on your own. But in Leviticus 20, verse 25, you praising God ever since. But what else has God said that's hard for us to hear? There are other things, aren't there, in Scripture? Things like, be patient with others. I don't want to hear that. Right. 1 Corinthians 13, 4, love is what? Patient. Oh, that's right. It's kind. does not envy or boast, it's not arrogant. But we don't want to be patient. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to be patient with people. People aren't patient with me. Why should I be patient with them? We're called to be patient. Or how about do all things without murmuring or disputing? We don't want to hear that either. Philippians 2:14, do all things without grumbling or disputing. But those people really bug me. How they're doing it's wrong, and I've got the better way of doing it. I could do it better. Are you one of those grumblers, one of those whiner people? You know, what's really sad for me is just a few minutes ago, I preached the same message, and of course, somebody walked out in the lobby after the first service and started grumbling about something. I'm like, is anybody listening to this? Please. That we'd uphold each other and lift each other up, not being murmurers, grumblers, disputers. God help us. What? But we don't want to hear that. No, I want to say what I want to say. And, you know, I'll say sorry later. You know, maybe not. Or thirdly, how about this? Abstain from all appearances of evil. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from every form of evil. Come on, there's a few forms I want to entertain a little bit longer. And Paul says, no, don't even entertain it. All forms, abstain. Choose righteousness. We wrestle with these things, don't we? Or how about this? There's something else we don't want to hear. Scripture calls us to overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Have you noticed in our culture, we live in a world of payback, right? You hurt me, so now I'm going to hurt you. Watch me. We have this mentality, why I oughta. And we're kind of walking around with loaded guns in our minds. But we should be doing all we can to overcome evil with that which is good, righteous, and God-honoring. Not trying to overcome evil with more evil, which, by the way, will never accomplish anything. But overcoming evil with awesomeness, goodness, purity, holiness. Beloved, sometimes God calls us to hear what we don't want to hear at all. What's something you've been wrestling with that God's been telling you to do and you're like, well, I don't know if I want to hear that today, but you know you need to be about it. I encourage you to submit to Him all the sooner. The sooner the better. Thirdly here, sometimes God calls us to go where we don't want to go. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate. So this is pretty timely, isn't it, in terms of these visions by both these guys, with what Cornelius saw, what Simon saw, that's Simon Peter, that is. And in verse 18, these men, they called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. I love how accurate this is. It's not like they have the internet or doorbells or, you know, hey, it's Peter, is he here? They're yelling for him. And while Peter was pondering the vision, he's still, you know, soaked up in what's going on. And the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you're looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation. Did you hear that description? This is what Cornelius' friends said of him, right? This was his reputation, that he was a godly man. And he was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house to hear what you have to say. So, Peter invited them in to be his guests. Beloved, sometimes God calls us to go where we don't want to go. Abraham wasn't all that crazy about going to Haran, you'll recall. Moses didn't want to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. He didn't think he could lead because he couldn't speak very well, he thought. Jonah, of course, didn't want to go to Nineveh. David, of course, didn't want to go into the wilderness when King Saul was trying to kill him, throwing spears at him all the time. And in the end, all the disciples even deserted Jesus. They didn't want to follow him either. And Saul didn't want to follow Jesus from the beginning, except for Jesus confronted him and says, why are you persecuting me? Beloved, it wasn't my life goal to become a pastor. That was the last thing on my heart, last thing on my mind. But God has his way as he deals with us. as he directs us where we should go. But Peter, inwardly perplexed, it says, verse 17, this is the Spirit that speaks to him in verse 19. And the Spirit says, rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation in verse 20, as he's directed by this holy angel. And you can imagine how Peter might have wrestled with going on this trip to go talk to a pagan Roman leader who's likely to have a household full of pagans, a bunch of Gentiles, a bunch of non-Jews, knowing full well that as a Jew that this is not a place that I should go. I don't think I should go there. Would have been his natural past response in the flesh. But sometimes God calls us where we don't want to go. Are you willing to go where you might be inconvenienced? Are you willing to go where you might be uncomfortable? Are you willing to go where you might be mistreated? I don't know if you remember in the book of Hebrews, in the faith chapter, chapter 11, where all these mighty men of the faith, you hear their stories, where it said of Moses that Moses chose the ill treatment of God's people over the riches of Egypt. He chose to be abused by his own people to lead them. He was willing to sacrifice in that way and to go where God had called him to go. Was that going to be inconvenient for him? Absolutely. Was he going to be uncomfortable? Yeah. Was he going to be mistreated? Yes. And yet he was willing to go. Peter, of course, doesn't know what's going to happen. At the very least, there's going to be inconvenience, possibly uncomfortable, and maybe mistreated. He didn't know. But he was willing to go. Wherein we see, fourthly today, sometimes God calls us to love those we don't want to love. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. So now he's got his own little entourage going northward up to Caesarea. On the following day they entered Caesarea, and Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. I love this. Here's Cornelius thinking, oh, this is going to be great. Peter, a leader of the church, is coming, and I'm going to get all my friends here. This is going to be fantastic. And when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down on his feet and worshipped him. Uh-oh. This is a problem. And what's Peter do? Oh, Peter lifted him up saying, no, stand up. I too am a man. You know, I'm nothing special here. We're on the same ground here. The ground is level at the foot of the cross, isn't it? Stand up. I too am a man. You know, he could have just said, oh, yeah, bring it on. The great Peter. No, just get up. And as he talked with them, he went in and found many persons gathered. You can imagine this might have taken Peter back a little bit. And he said to them, you yourselves know, watch this, how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. It's not lawful by my people, by my religion, it's not lawful for me to even be in this room with you people. It's against the law. And yet there he is. But God, it says, but God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. Are you hearing that? We who follow Christ should never have a thought towards anyone on this planet to treat anyone as common or unclean, ever. No matter where they've been, no matter what they look like, no matter what they're going through. We should have a heart of love and grace and compassion, because that's what God has shown us. Because the Lord Jesus Christ loved everyone. He died for everyone. But, you know, we wrestle. Well, that person, they're not like me. They're different than me. They don't think the same way I think about things, because I always think the right things about things, and of course they don't. And therefore, I'm obviously superior to them. Look at the great me. Enough about me. What about you? What do you think about me, we say? So egocentric. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. Do you hear that? It's beautiful. I came without objection. Nothing was going to hold me back. I asked then, why you sent for me? And Cornelius responds, well, 4 days ago about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who's called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you've been commanded by the Lord. And now next week, we're going to hear what Peter's going to say. So that's a little cliffhanger there. So stay tuned. Come back next week to hear what that is. But Cornelius calls all of his relatives and close friends because he knows that Peter has a message for him, because this is all from God. This must be amazing. And even as Cornelius bends his knees before Peter, Peter graciously corrects him. Now just stand up. But understand that the Gentiles were seen as enemies of the Jews. They were considered as ceremonially unclean and did not hold the same status before God as the Jews did. As a matter of fact, it was unlawful, but God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean, is his conclusion. And so his conclusion is, I have come without objection. You know, that should be our heart towards everybody, that we would love people without objection. Well, I love them, but I don't. No, no objection. Well, I'd like to love them, but no objection. They were all in place ready to hear Peter's message. What has God called us to do? Well, throughout his word, we see that we're called to love each other. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is what we need to be about, that we would actually really love each other. Jesus says, we need to forgive each other. Ephesians 4:32, Paul teaches, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. This should be our heart. Based on all the forgiveness we've received, we should be the people who are the most forgiving towards others, no matter how wrong they are with their viewpoints or ideas. And thirdly, we need to consider others as more important than ourselves. Philippians 2:3, Paul reminds us, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. We wrestle with this. Man, when we walk in the room, we're the most significant thing in the world. We need to put that down, push that down, and allow others to be more significant than us. And lastly, from Jesus himself, we need to love our enemies. Hear this room full of people now listening to Peter on every word he's going to say. They're all there receiving each other. These people who are supposed to be enemies of the Jews, Peter's now receiving in a beautiful way. Jesus said, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Come on, Pastor, really? I have to love? I should be about loving my enemies? Yes. Because isn't that precisely what Jesus did for us? Even while we were yet enemies of him, Christ died for us, that we might be redeemed. Beloved, we have to understand that real love involves sacrifice, and sacrifice involves death. Oh, that's right. Dying to self, living anew and afresh to Christ. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I ask you, what is God showing you today with all of this? Will you love people without objection? Will you be kind enough to come? Will you be kind enough to care? Kind enough to love? We're all here ready to hear what you have for us, they said. Well, are we there yet? No, not quite. A little more work for us to do, right? All of us are on a journey, and all of us are in different places in that journey, and that's okay. But it's my prayer and hope that you're all growing in these things that we've talked about today. Know with certainty that God will always lead us in the midst of our faithfulness. But even as we remain faithful, sometimes God calls us to hear what we don't want to hear. As he says things like, be patient with others, do all things without murmuring or disputing, abstain from all appearances of evil, or overcome evil with good. Sometimes God calls us to go where we don't want to go. He might just call us to a place where we might be inconvenienced, uncomfortable, or even mistreated. And sometimes God calls us to love those we don't want to love. Throughout Scripture, Jesus calls us to love each other, forgive each other, and to consider others as more important than ourselves. And on top of all this, He even calls us to love our enemies. We're all on a journey. How are you doing in your faithfulness to Him? Are you going where He's going? Are you following His lead? He knows the way and, in fact, is the way. So my encouragement for you this morning is to be faithful, to be found faithful like Cornelius, a faithful man that God intervened and moved in a mighty way in his life. Be faithful to Him in what He tells you. Be faithful to Him in where He leads you. Be faithful to Him with who He calls you to love. Are you ready to go on an unexpected journey this morning? Will you be kind enough to go? Would you please stand and pray with me as we close our service today? Oh God, we're mindful that there's a lot of work that needs to be done in our hearts, that we'd be changed by You, that we would grow, that we'd mature, that we become more like You. But Lord, we thank You for this example of Cornelius, a faithful man. Lord, for those who are feeling like they're just going through the motions and they're wondering, you know, what is going on or where are You leading, where are You guiding? Lord, I pray even right now that for those who are wrestling with direction in their world, that they would just remain faithful, just like Cornelius was. They would fear You. They'd seek You out in prayer. They'd be open-handed, waiting on You to give direction, knowing full well that You will take us where You want us to go. But in the meantime, Lord, may we be found faithful. But Lord, even in that, help us to hear the things that You want us to hear, and to be willing to go to places perhaps that we don't really want to go, and to love those we might not even want to love. Thank You, Lord, for this passage, an incredible example of Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, with this passage, we learn to what degree racism should be thrown out the window, that we should be willing to receive everyone, no matter who they are, where they're coming from, what they look like, doesn't matter. That we should see each other the way You see us. Lord, may we love our enemies. May we be willing to forgive each other. May we be willing to lay down our lives so that others may live by Your grace. So Lord, thank You for Your word today. Lord, we ask that Your Holy Spirit would imprint these truths on our hearts and our minds that we need to receive today, and that You would make the difference as we walk with You from today forward. Thank You, Lord, for attending to us. Thank You for the conviction Your word brings as we're challenged by it. And Lord, may we be found like Cornelius here, or like Peter, following Your every word, going where You direct us, loving people right where they are. We pray all this in Your Son's wonderful and awesome name this morning. And all God's people said, amen. Well, thank you so much for coming today. Have a fantastic week.